comparing apples to oranges. I'm Mike, and this is...
I'm Jeremy, and this is... Welcome to Apples to... Comparing Apples to Oranges. What am I doing?
This is the podcast that we take two things that seemingly have no connection except for one possibly tenuous strand of connectivity, and we look at them in a battle royale sort of situation.
They have no connection except for, let's the spend one a lot of connection. Words to say, actually I meant to say one connection.
Right, well, they could have more than one connection.
That's true.
And but the whole idea is that they belong in two different genres. We are comparing them as if they...
It's like apples and oranges, they're both fruit.
Right.
But you're not supposed to say, this orange is bad because it doesn't taste like an apple.
Right.
But you can still say,
exactly.
Get rid of Red
everybody
Delicious,
hates the Red
throw
Delicious.
Those away, but then there's also bad oranges.
Right. But, I mean, nobody says, oh, look at those kids, they're just a bunch of bad oranges. They said those kids are bad apples because...
But they do say orange, you're glad I didn't say banana.
I haven't heard that one.
Okay.
And let's keep it that way. Today, the two things we're going to compare...
They have a similar name.
Like a hard body of work.
Some of our topics are going to be things with similar names, and some
right.
of them are going to be actually related.
And these two, I think they're related in that they're both Latin American / Hispanic American entertainers, but Jeremy stands very firmly on the only reason that they are connected is because...
They both have the same last name.
Let's talk about how much we know about Latin American and Hispanic American entertainers.
Should we say who they are?
Oh, that's the big reveal.
Wait, yeah, but it's going to be like on the name of the episode. So like...
Ooh, is it?
I would assume so.
That's... Okay. So now we're going to reveal... Here's the big reveal. We're comparing...
Gabriel Iglesias with Enrique Iglesias.
Right. So it's the Battle of the Churches.
Which I did not know that's what that word meant until Mike pointed out.
And by,
I know
and by word,
Spanish.
We're talking about their last name, Iglesias, means churches in Spanish.
I thought it had something to do with something like with snow or something. Because I was thinking igloo.
Then you would be thinking...
Of a different language.
I think igloo might be like one of those words where it's a fake Native American word, like the French just said it, and they're like, we call them the Sioux Indians. You're like, that's not their name. But no, it does not mean snow. let's get that out of the way, everybody. Iglesias means churches, and that's the end of the episode. All right, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening, and have a good night or day, depending on where you're at.
And we're back. Okay, so we're going to, how much, Jeremy, do you already know about Enrique Iglesias or Gabriel Iglesias?
Okay, my wife, whenever I tweeted that I have to be listening to this Enrique Iglesias
right.
album for a podcast, she
right.
was like, she was like, ooh, I wish I had to do that. And I was like, okay, so she likes Enrique Iglesias.
Right.
He's
a Hispanic American hunk.
Yeah. And she listens to a lot of his like Spanish language music, which as we might talk about later, I think it's better than his English language music.
That's fair.
You
can say that. That makes sense.
And so, like, I'm familiar with him in the way that everyone's familiar with him. Like,
okay.
He's just been on the radio.
Yeah. I got some stats for you in a little bit.
Ooh.
He did real well with that singing. That's what
okay.
I'm trying to say.
Gabriel Iglesias, I've seen him, like, on Comedy Central before.
Right.
Like, I've seen bits and pieces of specials.
Right.
And I remember thinking he was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I had some preconceived notions about him that we're going to talk about
right.
when we get to that. But yeah, how about you? Have you...
So Jeremy and I are the same age and grew up in the same city. So we have a lot of the same sort of cultural history in that Enrique Iglesias was popular to me in high school when we'd go to dances and they played that song Hero, which is on the album we looked at, Escape, which is the American version of his previously released Spanish CD, Escapar.
Oh, see, there was Spanish versions of the song,
right.
some of the songs at the end,
yeah.
at least on Spotify,
like,
and I didn't know it was a...
The only reason I'm saying that is because the first album he ever released, which was all Spanish language, was called Enrique Iglesias, and then his first
you
American
can tell it's in
one,
Spanish because the title's in Spanish.
Well, it was, when I looked it up on Wikipedia, it was like italicized. I'm like, oh, it's a different language, you know? And then his first American release was Enrique, and then he had one that was Escapar, and then now he has Escape, and then I don't know if he just like did every single song he ever wrote just in English.
He just threw it into Google Translate.
That
no,
it came out in like 2005. No,
2001.
Yeah, maybe that's why I remember it so well. Anyway, that's how I knew
that
Enrique
Iglesias. That is why I remember it so well, because that song Hero
right.
was used a lot for tributes to soldiers
right.
and firefighters. which is weird because it's about trying to have sex with someone.
What? Maybe people are trying to have sex with firefighters.
Yeah.
All right.
But asking them if their lips will tremble. I don't know about... That's a little weird.
That's true. Nobody can argue that. Or if they... Nah, we're not going to argue that. Okay, let's go... So, my knowledge of Gabriel Iglesias was similar to yours, where I remember hearing a little bit about him, and up until I listened to the whole comedy CD, I thought I had heard his stuff before, and I'm like, you know what? He's pretty funny. Then I listened to it. Anyway, that's we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's come up with our criteria, the things that we're going to compare these two things against. Let's say, okay, number one.
Enjoyment, I think, is number one. Or just whether we liked it.
Right. We said level of enjoyment. So how much did we get out of listening to the CD or, I guess, yeah, listen to the comedy CD?
Oh, by the way, they are facing off. We're going to pick one that's better than the other. I don't know if we've said that yet.
Yeah, Battle Royale, sort of. One will Thunderdome it out. Two Latin American pop stars will enter. Though I looked it up, apparently Enrique Iglesias, when they were calling him Hispanic, I just thought they were being lazy. Mm-hmm. But he's actually from Spain, so.
Oh.
There you go. All right,
Spanish, so, yeah, it's Hispanic, yeah.
Yeah, because I thought, you know, Hispanic is like saying Asian. You're like, I don't know, so I'm just going to say a continent. Where it's like saying Hispanic's like, I don't know, so I'm just going to say everybody that speaks that language.
Yeah.
So,
and occasionally you're like, one of them's from Brazil.
Right. Portuguese? A Portuguesean?
And then you just get really confused.
Right. So we're talking about the level of enjoyment, how much we liked the music, and would you say laughed? Because I don't think a stand-up comedian, you just sit there and you're like, you know what, I enjoy this. Like, I actually qualified as number of laughs I would generate it.
With comedy, it's a combination of things, because it's laughter, but then it's also afterwards you're like, I like that. Because, like, something being memorable,
okay. Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, if you are listening to a comedy CD by yourself, you're not going to laugh nearly as much as if you saw them live.
That's fair. Absolutely. Or in a crowd. I can understand that, too.
Oh, yeah. But, like, it could just be general enjoyment. Like,
right.
If you were, like, counting your laughs, that'd be a little weird because then there's no...
I think that's just economical.
As I say this, Mike, like, moves a piece of paper with tally marks aside.
I'm keeping my Excel sheet in my pocket so nobody makes fun of me. What goes along with level of enjoyment is our next criteria. Re-listenability. So, would you recommend somebody to listen to it, or would you listen to it again of your own volition?
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're like, you know what, I forgot what some of the CD sounded like, or Jeremy called me and he's like, hey, did you download the CD? And I'm like, no, I got the Comedy Central special and I just listened to the audio of that. And he's like, no, it's on Spotify. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'll listen to it again. But
oh, you did?
Well, I didn't have a premium version of Spotify, so it did a shuffle version of the album.
Oh, if you do it on your computer, it doesn't shuffle.
Oh, because I did it on mobile. Okay.
Mm.
So this
mobile also will, like, randomly insert other songs you didn't pick.
No, yeah.
In addition to
shuffling? It went to a different album, and I'm like, because I found out that they were the exact same. The Comedy Central thing and the CD were the exact same. And I heard one joke that wasn't. I said, oh my gosh. And I'm like, oh, no, it went to Aloha Fluffy, which, nah. But I guess in conclusion, this episode was brought to you by Spotify. So just heads up out there.
As we complain about their mobile app.
Yeah. No, yeah. It had a lot of stars on the App Store. So, but either way, I actually listened to both of these twice. So
I listened to the Enrique one a few times
because
that's easier with music.
Right.
And then I didn't do Gabriel Iglesias till today.
These were not brand new to us,
but
we are putting them under a very thick microscope. Is that the right adjective for microscope right now?
Like powerful?
Like a thick microscope.
An electron microscope.
Ooh, I don't know. That's checking out the protons of...
Pointed a telescope at them.
Okay, our other two criteria are Latin / Hispanic heritage that's evident in the material. I mean, their last names are Churches, so they're not goofing on anybody. Nobody's name is Gabe Church, all right? His name is Gabriel Iglesias. Yes. And then his stage name is Fluffy, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You know, like Sasha Fierce from Beyonce.
It's one of those things where it's more like it's one of those things where he made a joke. It almost sort of became a catchphrase about him. It's more like Ron White being Tater Salad.
Yeah. He does have a joke that says, "Call me Tater Salad." I know. I think that's the name of one of his specials.
Yes. Well, it was a joke, and then he just started going by Tater Salad in the same way that he's like, "I'm not fat, I'm Fluffy," and then he's like, "People call me Fluffy." He really made a transition there.
So going along with Latin heritage evident in the material, we talked about how appealing they are to an American crowd. Because from what it sounded like, Gabriel's Iglesias' audience was, from the amount of their laughing at his jokes about American stuff, and then Enrique Iglesias just translated all of his songs so that non-bilingual or trilingual people be like, you know what? I'm going to buy this CD.
Like, you know what? These lyrics are a little creepy now that I can understand them.
Yeah. Like, maybe this something was lost in translation, and he gets really close up to your face. He says, nuh-uh.
He wouldn't say nuh-uh. He would say, no.
Oh, see? He would whisper it. You said you didn't know Spanish.
I said no, and it sounded like no.
Yeah.
Which is French?
No, they're all romantic languages. Niet. All say no the same way.
Niet.
Okay, Russian is not a romantic language.
Don't tell that to people in Russia. We've got some stats.
Yeah, we got some stats for you guys. Okay, so Enrique Iglesias was born in Madrid, Spain. He is currently 40 years old, and he is commonly regarded, according to a Wikipedia article about him, as the king of Latin pop, which I guess, if you're from Spain, you can still be considered a Latin pop sensation, even though you're not from Latin America.
Well, maybe just Latin America likes him, and he does his pop there.
According, sounds like it, because he sold over 137 million records worldwide, which makes him the best-selling Spanish artist ever.
Ooh.
Take that, Lucille Ball's husband.
You remember, Desi Arnaz?
Remember him?
Yes.
Man, he was a king. Of what did he do? Big band? What did he do?
Oh yeah, he I don't know, Cuban.
Yeah,
he was
big into it.
Yeah,
but he got passed up by Enrique Iglesias. He had five top five off of the Billboard Hot 100.
Ooh,
and then he got 26 number one Spanish language singles on Billboard's Hot Latin Tracks. If you don't talk about the temperature of the music, no one cares at all. Just found this out. First time I ever found it out. Told Jeremy we both freaked out.
That was the best.
His success in the American mainstream was literally started because Will Smith saw him in concert and said, "Hey, do you want to put a song on the soundtrack to Wild Wild West?" And that's, I say it with an American accent, Bali Mose. And then after that, he exploded and he got signed by Interscope for millions of dollars. That's crazy.
And so
Wild Wild West.
His good luck charm is a robot spider.
And Chris Klein, yes. St. Louis native. Kevin Klein.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Klein. His album Escape, which was put out in 2001, he co-wrote or wrote every single song on the album. And I put this in here. He dated Anna Kournikova for up to 12 years.
Yeah, I remember that.
Pretty impressive. So Gabriel Iglesias, 39 years old. His nationality is American, and I'm not trying to be jingoistic. This is what it said on his Wikipedia page. He was born in San Diego, but a lot of his humor comes from his Mexican heritage. And we listened to his album, Hot and Fluffy from 2008. He apparently besides being a comedian, he's also an actor. Because we found out that he was on the show All That in the year 2000, which is when he was 27. So I don't know if he was one of the All That players, but maybe he was just a bit character. I don't know. He's a producer, writer, and voice actor. He was in the Pixar movie Planes. Straight off of Wikipedia, I'm not making this up, he was called a comedy genius by Hector Saldana of San Antonio Express News. I don't know what that means, but it comedy and genius.
That means he didn't have enough stuff on his Wikipedia page and someone Googled him because they had to update Wikipedia for like a class assignment.
He cited his influences, Paul Rodriguez, who he mentions on his thing, Eddie Murphy, because observational humor, maybe, Robin Williams, because
he's
of voice acting,
the hits.
Voice acting, and swear to God, this has a citation, the first citation on his Wikipedia page, Bill Cosby.
Yeah, because the You probably said that before.
But I mean, like, Bill Cosby and... They're literally a generation apart. And Bill Cosby's humor and his humor are nothing alike.
Yeah, but
alike.
It could be something like... Bill Cosby, probably when he was younger, was the biggest comedy, like, stand-up thing in the world.
He started doing comedy when he was 23. Or no, he started doing it full-time when he was 23. He quit his job at a cell phone company, and then he got evicted and lost his car. But he kept doing it. So I guess that's good.
I'm just trying to think of some of my comedian friends, like, in the future, if they're as famous as he is.
Right.
The Wikipedia page is like, right. Oh, and the window got broken on his truck that one time in an open mic. It's like, yeah, that's what does that have to do with the story?
See, I don't understand why it's like, literally, like, you can keep your day job, big guy. Like, you might not be that good right now, you know.
I know some comedians that quit their day job. Well,
yeah.
Quit, you know, I want comedy to be the main thing. It's going to motivate me.
Right.
And then, like, without exception.
Mm-hmm.
Couple months later, living at home with their parents.
Yeah.
Or a couple months later, I gotta take a job somewhere shitty.
But there might be like, you know what, this is gonna be great material. You're like, you could have just lied about all that.
Yeah.
You could have just made all that stuff up.
You could have had material about working at your job.
Yeah. Or just like, yeah, I'm moving back in with my parents. And you don't have to. Like, you lived with your parents long enough, you could just make up lies about them and people think it's funny.
Yes.
Gabriel Iglesias was also on Last Comic Standing's fourth season, which, did you ever watch that?
Not really.
I watched the first season because I love...
Is that one where Dat Fan won?
Yeah. Dat Fan sucks, man. Dat Fan's no good. And that's where Ralphie May, Catherine Madigan, Todd Glass, somebody else, like, people you know now who are, like, you know, they're on Comedy Central or they're, like, bit characters or, you know, that stuff.
It's good credit.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like...
But didn't he... He got kicked off, right?
Oh, yeah. He got kicked off. And this is sort of... He mentions this a little bit in the stand-up that we listened to.
I went and Googled it whenever
he... smuggled a BlackBerry in so he could communicate with his friends and family, and he got disqualified.
Which, that's insane, because now...
He made it to the top 8.
Now they
don't... number 6 before he got kicked out.
Now they don't make them, like, live in a house and, like, follow around. Like, now it's just the performances.
See, that's... I think the worst part about that show when I was watching it was the reality aspect of it, because comedians, like, getting together and then, like, expecting them to communicate or act like people is not going to be funny to anybody.
It can be, but not, like, high pressure, you guys are competing for some bullshit.
Right, yeah, it was very annoying. He has his own reality TV show now called Fluffy Breaks Even, and it's on Fuse TV. I don't know a lot about Fuse.
It's the one with music videos, I think.
Kind of sad he got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, which is the one where you get genetically predisposed. You can get it if you get really overweight. And then he lost like 100 pounds. So I'm like, oh, it's kind of a good, you know, that's successful. He's not like riding the coattails of being fat until he dies. So that's good. I don't know.
Riding the coattails of being fat.
Somebody's cashing those checks, man. They're keeping them big on purpose. Yeah. That's the cold hard facts about the two. Now let's talk about our impressions of their work. You want to go ahead and start off?
Which one are we doing first?
You pick.
Okay, so we'll start with Enrique Iglesias.
Okay.
So I started listening to it. My first impression, just based on the sound, is like, I think these days, electronic music and hip-hop has influenced pop music so much.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
When you listen to something from back then...
With no auto-tune.
Like, well, no, it's not even just their voice. It's like the background music. Are they really just using, like, Casio keyboard default setting beats on this? Like, I feel like... I feel like this, and it probably is, is the kind of thing that would be on, like, some kind of crappy, like, rom-com.
Yeah.
That, like, my wife would be like, this just happened to be on TV. I don't really care about it.
Yeah.
Like, from, like, the early 2000s. And his voice is good, except
would
when
you run
whisper sings.
Right.
And never look back.
Like,
which he does probably, like, in 3 songs at least.
And
that I can,
no, more than 3 songs at least.
It's, 3 songs where it's prominent. He probably
I'm
starts off
with
songs.
I'm around you.
Yeah, it's insane. But, like, I don't like when people are, like, clearly trying to come across as sexy.
Okay.
It's like, especially when it's like an attractive millionaire.
Ooh,
it's like,
he wasn't a millionaire at the point. This is how he got his millions.
Yeah, but like,
I understand what you're saying.
It's one thing to be like, try and look good or whatever. Like that weird, like,
right.
To get, like, breathy or whatever,
yeah.
It's just weirdly off-putting when you're listening to it.
That's your impression of it. That's what it left. I enjoyed most of the songs just because it was sort of like... remember hearing this when I was younger. Or, oh, you yeah. know, it's like, oh, this is upbeat. But, yeah, definitely, like, that love to see you cry. I'm just going to read what it says.
Oh, so yeah.
It's not taken out of context. He says, don't know why I love to see you cry, but it makes me feel alive. And I'm like, you know what? You don't need to say that.
When I re-listened to it today, because the first time I listened through... Yeah. I guess it wasn't paying that close attention to the lyrics.
I think that's, you're not supposed to the first listen through. Mm-hmm. You're just supposed to, okay, I'm just going to listen to it.
And then I listened to it today. The first song is about, you can't escape my love.
Whoa.
And I'm like, that's a
no,
little.
No, they could run and hide.
They could run, but they can't escape his love. Okay. And I was like.
No. No escaping his love.
No, no. Don't turn off the lights. I don't remember. Right. That one was kind of creepy too. I don't remember why.
No, that was the reverse of creepy. Because he's like, turn off the lights. That'd be creepy. He's like, no, just come, don't turn them off. Come on.
Love to See You Cry, and you're like, what? And then one thing with pop music is it's a whole bunch of songs that they just wrote.
Yeah.
And they're not related at all.
Right.
Because then there's like, I Will Survive, I'm going to Get Over Getting Dumped.
Right.
And it's like, but all the other songs in this were about stalking someone.
Yeah. Are you letting her escape your love?
I went into it thinking, this is kind of lame. And then I was like, you know, this is pretty good. And then I'm like, no, this is creepy. But the Spanish language songs versions, I don't hear as much whisper singing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe whispering sounds different in Spanish.
The whisper.
Is that Spanish or is that offensive?
It's borderline both. That's the issue. I think that's why it's an issue. Overall, pretty upbeat. Like some, you know, it was pop. Like, it was definition of pop. I remembered some of the songs, but then I did not remember the ones that... She Be the One? I don't like that.
That title? That title alone made me cringe.
And it also... And when we were talking about bombs earlier, he did say, she be the one, she a bomb, or something like that. And I'm like, I'm going to give him, you know, license, because that was back then, and it's probably like something you say.
I'm hoping that was Google Translate.
That could be too.
Because otherwise you're like, I feel like this is probably offensive to somebody.
I just thought it was a dumb thing to say. You're like, the I Will Survive. I'm like, it sounded like that disco song, I Will Survive, by Gloria Gaynor.
There's a really good song called I Will Survive.
Yeah.
That is memorable and good.
And it wasn't sung by a Hispanic American man. Like, it was sung by an African American woman who's like, I'm going to survive. And his is just like, yeah, I had this breakup, but you know, I'm going to do fine because she's not going to escape my love.
But like literally one song ago, I was like trying to win this person over.
It's a roller coaster ride, man, being a pop star.
Yeah. I mean, not everything has to be Pet Sounds. Like, it doesn't have to go through an arc. It's still a little jarring that you're like, wait, there's a breakup, but she was already rejecting you two songs ago.
Right.
What is happening?
Got a little something for everybody on this album. Don't worry about it. Okay, and now, so let's go to...
But the other thing...
Okay.
And I mentioned this earlier, I think, is going into this, just the song Hero, and just remembering...
Would you cry if you saw me crying? And would you save my soul tonight?
Like, it just reminds me of 9/11 bullshit.
Right. Because Jeremy's like anti-terrorist.
Because it has
big anti-terrorist.
It has the word hero in it. So then it was like, oh, soldiers and firefighters. And then you listen and you're like, I am creeped out by all of this.
And I'm going to be devil's advocate because I wasn't there when he signed the contract. I would try to find this on Wikipedia, and they did mention it, but it wasn't a controversy. They did mention that his song was released 8 days before the attacks.
Ooh, so it wasn't on inside job.
Oh, snap, loose change. Get him on the phone. Anyway, there was an issue where, like, he just performed the song at, like, the Miss Venezuela contest. And then he was asked to do it, like, at a tribute for the thing that you clearly were talking about.
Mm.
And he did it, but I'm like, can anybody be aware of the juxtaposition where it's like, this song was appropriate for, you know, like, half-naked women parading around to be judged by men. And then it's like, you know what? All these, like, grieving widows, I'm sure they're going to want to hear it, too.
They need a new hero because they lost theirs.
And
But
no, he's asking if they want to be his hero.
No, it's let me be your hero.
Okay. So it's like the subjunctive? I don't know.
I don't know.
When you hear it in Spanish, pretty good song.
Yeah.
De frío tu piel a quemar
Can't argue that.
It doesn't remind you of disgraceful YouTube videos about 9/11. YouTube didn't even exist back then, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Let's talk about Gabriel Iglesias. So Jeremy is a stand-up comedian. Do you want to go ahead and...
You can go first.
Okay, so some stuff I wrote down while I was listening. Jeremy and I discussed this a little bit before we started, where he's got some catchphrases. There's levels of fat, and there was 5 levels, and apparently he added a new one in one of his specials. I'm not even going to go over them right now because I didn't think it was that funny. He's a very talented voice impressionist. He does a lot of cool stuff with his voice.
They go inside the club, they start jamming, having fun, right?
I would say to his detriment.
Right, we take off.
I don't think it's necessarily bad, but I think after Police Academy, that was all anybody had ever needed out of a voice actor.
You know, if you hear the magical sound, I'm gonna go to jail.
You know, like if you want to go into
making impressions of cars. And
yeah,
stuff like
I
that.
Mean, if you want to go into Foley work, there's a ripe market right now for you in like public radio and literally nowhere else. Like it was not funny when he was doing the sounds of a car.
Get over the air.
And then when he did the sounds of somebody going through a drive-thru, I'm like, you know what? I remember Dane Cook doing this, and I laughed at that.
Oh, yeah.
And I would never say that this is him stealing a joke. It's just like, I remember that one time it was funny, and it's not funny to me now.
See, my biggest problem... Well, I think whenever I've seen him before, I was like flipping channels. It was on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And I think when you're looking at him, you don't notice how much... weird sound effects he does for no reason.
Okay.
And I don't think it bothers you as much, but like listening to it, I was like, this is so many goddamn sound effects that he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're writing a script,
right,
and someone is going from one place to another place, you don't have to show them walk out the door, walk to their car, start the car,
but,
drive the car,
okay,
get out of the car. But anytime he
right.
mentioned someone driving somewhere or going somewhere, he would do the car really loud
right.
sound effect.
Right.
To the point where I was like, you're not getting a laugh from this.
Isn't he? People were cheering
some
of his voice acting.
Some of it was like a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big fan of those sound effects and stuff.
Right.
But some of it was legitimately a punchline. Some of it was just filler for no reason. It's like, you could have said,
anything.
So we went to a bar. You don't have to be like...
Right.
So she gets in the car, ding, ding, ding.
Right.
Like none of adding
Have you been
anything.
Practicing? That's pretty spot on. I want to address some of the stuff with his voices just real quick. Does 2 voices of George Lopez and Carlos Mencia.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't tell if he was doing them to take a shot at them, like, oh, I'm the new boy on town. Or if he was name dropping.
He was name dropping, but the context of the joke was some woman... that clearly didn't know who he was,
right.
that heard he was famous, asking for his autograph,
right.
and him signing at George Lopez, and then doing the voice. But then he's like, I can do the other voices too. And then talking about their reaction to it. I didn't have a problem with that so much as it was like, I had more of a problem with the George Bush voice, because it's like, really, wasn't this already played
right.
out like before
right.
2007?
Yeah.
Wasn't this played out in 2004?
And then other thing I had a big problem with was the Crocodile Hunter. Not because it wasn't hilarious, because maybe people think it is, and I'm not going to argue that. But, like, he clearly wrote a joke, and then the Crocodile Hunter died, and he's like, I still need this joke in my set. You know what, bro? You probably don't.
This is a long album.
And he also, let's talk about that. It was an hour-long album. Probably 45 minutes was him telling stories about how good he is as a comedian.
I made a cop laugh so hard one time, he almost peed on himself. I know this because he told me. He was like, you don't understand. I damn near pissed myself.
Mm-hmm. Or how good he is at impressions. Or at how funny he is. And I'm like, you could just... That's what this is for. Like, you show us through those jokes. You don't need to say, well, this one time I was really funny. I'm going to tell you that story. I'm like, no, just tell a story and I'll tell you when you're funny. The crocodile hunter, he couldn't keep the accent the whole time. And it wasn't because he was laughing. It was just like he was doing his clear Australian accent. And then he said, oh, over there, it's the... He's like, there's a tiger. And he's like, I'm going to go poke it. No, you can't. The thing you keep telling us you're really good at is those impressions. And then you just stop doing it in the middle. I don't know.
Yeah,
that was frustrating to me.
With the whole, like, saying that he's funny things, it's like, I'm okay with comedians being like, oh, I told that joke and someone reacted and this funny...
Now, if you're not laughing, you need to get out more often because that's a funny joke. That's hysterical. Ask a 10-year-old. They'll tell you, that's funny!
There was a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he had that joke where he was like, oh, if you don't... Well, first of all, he's talking about doing an Irish bar.
I wrote that Irish bar. Oh,
and
so
then he starts doing a Scottish accent.
Which he doesn't address. He's
I don't think
like,
he realizes. That's... Because he was like, if you don't get why that's funny, I can explain it to you, right. But I won't. And I'm like, okay, is the joke that you're doing the wrong accent?
No.
And then he's like,
yeah.
He's thinking people wouldn't get the fact that he referenced the movie Shrek. That's literally the point of contention. And he talks about a guy coming up and thinking it's funny that he said donkey.
Right.
Because he's Mexican.
Right.
Which... would kind of work, but you're like stuck in this weird like logic hole.
Right.
What is happening? And does this joke take place in a different universe? I feel bad nitpicking shit because I'm inclined to nitpick stuff.
Here's why I feel justified. So I'm not a stand-up comedian. Never been in front of a group of people. Never wrote jokes, you know, to be judged by people. But he spends like 20 goddamn minutes saying I'm really funny. I'm really funny.
He's like, I'm really good at making police laugh. It's like we'll just, okay.
And that's how the show ends. The show ends with him telling a story where a cop told him, he's funny, you don't get a ticket, but those bitches aren't funny, I gave them a ticket, and then the crowd cheers. And I'm like, no, that's not how comedians work. Like, so that's why I feel justified.
I didn't even pick up on him saying how funny he was, but I, looking back on it, it's totally like
a
through line.
And that's the thing is, like, I... don't have a leg to stand on when I'm judging a comedian. But when the comedian's like, I'm positing that I'm a smart, funny, hilarious person, I'm like, well, that's an argument, and I can have counter arguments because that's how that's how this works. And so he has guts to be up there, you know, he's the last comic standing. He's making money, man. His humor is for a demographic, and he's nailing it right now.
Oh yeah,
but
he's good at what he does.
Not for me. So
in some ways, it's he's good at what he does, and that some people really like the voices and stuff like that. Yeah. And like I've like opened for other comedians. Okay, I can see the craft they put in.
Yeah.
I see the work they put in. It's not exactly
absolutely.
There was some. What was it? Okay, one preconceived notion I had of him going in, and I realized halfway through it, it's like, oh, I have this notion because I half remember him telling this joke,
right.
Which is there's some comedians where a lot of their humor is them telling you things that people have said to them,
right.
Or that they've overheard or seen someone do something poorly. And ideally, they then comment on that. I remembered him saying that joke where he's like, "People, you make fun of yourself a lot in your act." And he goes, no, people say a lot of mean things to me, and
right.
I talk about it in my act. So I misremembered him just basically reporting people making fun of him. But he actually does... put a twist on a lot of it and respond to a lot of it. But, like, I just... that was one of my preconceived notions going in, and that was something that I was like, okay, he's not as bad about that as I thought. But there were other things, like the voices and sound effects that were just...
No seatbelt? No pull bar?
So grating that it just ruined it.
He was doing all these voices, and then he talks about when he was on a plane and got struck by lightning, and then he turned gay for 5 seconds.
I didn't get that joke at all.
Here's what I think.
If it's an act out that we couldn't see?
I wish. That would be... no, it's still dumb and homophobic. But the issue is, like, he's saying he was gay for 5 seconds because he was scared and screaming. And I'm like, but you were literally doing that screaming voice 4 or 5 other times in the act. Like, he did it when he came out. He was excited that people were there and he was getting a good reception at, like, Bakersfield, which is, like, the first time he ever did stand-up.
No, it was the first time he did a theater show.
Oh, okay.
I think he's from there.
So you're like, fear makes you gay? Like, he's just screaming in a high-pitched voice? That's what gay people do? I'm like, he's like, you know what's funny? People love gay jokes, and this is a gay joke. And it just seemed lazy.
Kind of like how the Enrique Iglesias album was stalker sounding,
mm-hmm.
like, and very creepy, and right. not. No, I am a beautiful man,
and you're and not going to.
I love you so much
that
my
love.
You have no say in it.
Oh, wait, what about One Night Stand? Because that was like that was relatively empowering considering the rest of the album. She was just in for that, or unless she was like clearly not, and he's just like, nope, that's what you wanted.
Yeah, it's all. Well, he has a say, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like my way or it's just my way.
Yeah.
But then like similarly, there were like I hate the word problematic, but like okay. things. This comedy album, it's from 2008. It's 2008, and you're like our age. It's like, mm-hmm. well, you should know. But like that doesn't seem long ago, but. Right. A lot of, he has some stuff about like strippers and like right. women being drunk and stuff like right. that. And you're like,
they'll get mad. I am not a stripper, okay? I am an entertainer. I'm like, no, I'm an entertainer. You're nasty.
Yeah, and then like the hoochies in the other car and like right. things like that. You don't have to trash right. these just, people that yeah. are just incidentally in the story.
It also seemed like college humor where he's like, oh, we're talking about getting drunk. You're like, when he did this album, he was like 30s. I don't know. It just seems like drunk humor has
He's in his 30s, but he's got enough money to...
But his story, like, it seems like drunk humor has its place, and it's usually opening for a college act. And I'm like, oh, because everybody's like, yeah, I remember getting drunk.
Or a little bit, but then it's like, it was like a through line for a while. I don't know. It's like, it was all about getting drunk, being fat, and then just occasionally just things where you're like, oh, is that kind of... Like, talking about the crocodile hunter going to Iraq, and he kept referring to Al-Qaeda... And I'm like, but those are two different... This is me nitpicking. Like, the audience isn't going
to
know.
But, I mean, that's... You should be able to critique someone's intelligence from what they think is going to be funny.
You want things to... If not airtight logically...
Right.
You want it to be a thing where if someone knows enough about it, it doesn't ruin the joke for them. It's a very high standard that even, like, some of the great comedians that, like, I look up to, a lot of their jokes that don't...
And you can't argue that, but... After he's done making the terrible Scottish accent, or no, it's a good Scottish accent.
It's a good Scottish accent.
Really bad Irish accent. Because they don't say, oi.
Yeah.
Like pirates.
That lacking self-awareness moment.
And then,
where you don't realize it is ruining the joke for a portion of the audience. The
and people he puts that don't it know on any, us.
The people because, that don't know any better are going to laugh. Yeah. But the people that do know are wait, but that doesn't make any sense.
Right. And then he puts it on the audience. He says, if you're not laughing... You need to get out more. That's funny. And then he says, ask a 10-year-old.
And like, then you're like, he's talking about Shrek.
No, I don't think... I think he's like, 10-year-olds think I'm funny.
No, he was talking about Shrek. Because that leads into the thing where the guy didn't know who Donkey was.
Okay, that's fair.
But I understand your confusion.
So mad.
Because it didn't make... I was also confused. I was like doing dishes with that in the background, and I just stopped, and I was like, what is happening?
My opinion of him changed because I was listening to this, like, with a critical ear, too. I think, where if it was just on,
if
instead
I was
of
in,
I sought
if
it
If I was
out.
In the audience, I wouldn't have minded as much if it was live.
Yeah.
So that's rough. Should we go to comparing them or whatever the judgments or whatever are?
Yeah. Why you gotta ask me what I'm doing now. Right, and we are going to compare the... Two, using our criteria.
Okay, so enjoyment. Okay, so...
Yeah, let's go with the easy stuff. How much do we enjoy the first album?
It kind of went back and forth for me. Enrique Iglesias, I started listening, and I didn't really feel like listening. Like, I was going to not like it.
Yeah, it was sort of...
You know, this is kind of good.
Right.
But then I listened to it again today, and that's when I started to notice...
Right, roller coaster ride.
The lyrics, and I was like, really... Kind of more creeped out by them than I expected to, considering I'd already listened to this like 1.5 times the day at work. This was happening that whole time.
Under my nose, no less?
And it's not like there were weird lyrics, just like incidentally, they were the refrain being repeated over and over again. Overall, I'd say I enjoy it, especially the Spanish language stuff.
I actually feel the exact same way because the first time I listened to it, I'm like, oh, so hip, you know, it's so hip. I think I even sent you a text. I'm like, ooh, I'm listening to Enrique Iglesias. Yeah.
And I went, oh, crap, I gotta do that. And I put it on, and I'm like, this first song will never end.
No, you're not gonna escape it.
And then I liked the dimension.
No, it won me over. Definitely some songs that
won you
were
over
that
almost lost you.
I don't think we were the demographic audience for this, especially because it came out.
I think like our wives are.
10 years. No, oh, God, 15 years ago. This is an old CD. I don't listen to old, like, they don't even play it on Y98. This is like 15 years ago. That's like oldies. Anyway, I enjoyed it more, but I'm not going to go out of my way to listen to the whole CD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go with re-listenability.
I would say yes, although the more I re-listened, the more I'm like, but I feel like if I listened to it again, I wouldn't, like, Liz plays it, I'm not like, ugh.
That's the thing, is like, I could listen to three or four of these songs, you know, you pop them in at a party, request them out, because that's funny. Hey man, do you have Don't Turn Off the Lights? He's like, you know it, brother, and he's got it on vinyl. This is, I gotta get out of this. This is a terrible bar. I'm gonna just say it, and you, okay. I completely understand your caveat with comedy is different than a musical CD, and...
Oh, did we talk about enjoyment for Gabriel Iglesias, or are we doing all for Enrique first?
Oh, no, we're just saying which one gets it.
Because enjoyment, Gabriel Iglesias, I expected to like it better than Enrique Iglesias.
Because it's comedy.
Because it's comedy, and I remember liking it just
It's more
seeing,
towards us.
I remember liking it, seeing it on TV at the point. And then it was like nails in a chalkboard anytime he made sound effects. Like, at some point he
Which
said...
was not one of the sound effects he did, thank God.
Oh, yeah. At some point he did something, and I just everything in my body tensed up in a cringe. Like, I thought... Because I've seen him do other material. I enjoyed it.
He's had Comedy Central specials that were, you know, half hour or whatever, so...
And then Enrique Iglesias, like, he's just good. It's just... Listening to the whole album, I'm kind of ADD with music sometimes if I'm not like really in the mood for it, and I was doing
like
it for this. So
if
like,
it doesn't have an arc, it's difficult to be like, you know what, I should sit through every single single because clearly this was meant to be released that way.
Re-listenability.
How do you feel about like
comedy is not very re-listenable sometimes?
Here's what I would say: like, you would want to seek out other things from that comedian. You know, a special or showcase is going to have some old jokes.
Oh yeah.
Like Cat Williams, I will look up 2-minute YouTube things of
like him getting beat up by that kid the other day.
Maybe like I'm trying to think.
That is amazing.
Catpocalypse was like when the beginning of the end for me, or no, that was the end for me. Like once I heard that, I'm like, okay, it's not funny anymore. But like that's so funny when he's when he's listening to Rick Ross. And, like, he's just going bananas. Like, that's so funny. Maybe I would say, like, recommendability instead of re-listenability for a comedian. Like, I would not recommend someone to be... I'm like, oh, man, I just listened to all this Gabriel Iglesias. You should get on it. Like, I'm not going to do that.
This definitely left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. Literally.
Nope.
Okay. The third criteria that we held them against...
Ooh, their Latin heritage or whatever.
Heritage.
I would say... Maybe Gabriel Iglesias did more with that. I liked the Enrique Iglesias songs that were in Spanish, but they were literally translations.
Oh yeah.
Of
and then there
the
were
songs,
songs that were just in Spanish. You're like, oh wow.
No, I think they were all.
Yes.
On that
like,
album.
Yeah. The, well, man, I got the iTunes version, like the special. There was a song with Lionel Richie on there. Terrible.
What?
Terrible.
What? I'm missing out.
Yeah.
On a thing that's terrible. So I guess I'm not missing out.
So bad.
The whole thing about the, I did actually enjoy the joke about the, although it went on too long, I felt like, but that's just me not being in a live audience. The joke about the, Mexican radio guy.
Yeah.
And does he talk like that to people at home? Which is like, you know, it's a pretty standard construct for a joke.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed some of the stuff about people thinking he's Samoan and stuff like that.
It's funny that you would mention the part about the Mexican, radio DJ. I actually put that against him because... Wait, now you're going to make mean jokes about the culture that you're not a part of? And then he was like, you're my dad was mariachi. And then he explains the joke about the hot sauce. Can't tell.
I think I zoned out during part of that. Because I remember hot sauce being a punchline and me going, I should rewind. And then just going back to what I'm doing.
See, I would have said, you don't need to rewind. He's about to explain the joke.
Okay.
I don't know. So you're giving that one to Gabriel.
I feel like I got to give him something.
Ooh, I don't know. You don't... He's got the bonus point that we haven't mentioned yet. Remember?
Ooh, my man's made up either way.
Okay, okay. And then I was going to give it to Enrique, and then I realized that, no, he has completely taken all of the heritage, the authentic Hispanic stuff out and just changed it. He Google translated it. You're right. And like you said, maybe it didn't come out so hot for him, because the creepy level is much, much better when you have a Latin accent.
Oh, yeah. It's easier to stomach someone saying creepy things when you don't realize that's what they're saying, because you don't speak the language.
Okay, and then our last one is appealing to an American crowd. Who do you think got that one?
I'm going to say Enrique.
Yeah.
Just like, in terms
the
of
the numbers
me,
behind him. The numbers behind him. Just...
Hot
Billboard 1 million.
Gabriel appeals to an American crowd the way that, like...
They cheered so much.
The way that, like, Larry the Cable Guy, any of that.
Here's your sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very catchphrasy. It's very, like, you could put it on a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then our secret... I agree with you, by the way. I thought Enrique did better. The secret crossover bonus point was if Enrique Iglesias did any self-deprecating fat jokes, we were going to give him an extra point.
I would have been so excited. I wasn't paying close enough attention to if there were like a subtle one.
Right.
But...
I mean, the heavy breathing might be indicative or symptomatic of obesity, but I don't think it was. That connection was pretty... I mean, he's also like super ripped in all his pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And his face, which is on the album cover... Seems very...
His face on the album cover,
healthy?
And then his name is, like, across it in a way that you're like, what is on his face? And then you go, oh, okay, that's his name.
He actually had to get his mole removed, they said, because it might be cancerous.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
well, the mole, did it spell out...
No, it grew. That's why they thought it might be cancerous.
It said Enrique slash escape. Look at this. Like, that little thumbnail on Spotify.
It's not unlike Nelly's when
little
wearing
Band-Aid
Band-Aid
for
under,
a while.
Yeah, it's not unlike that at
it's
all.
It's like eye black, but, like...
Right.
Too far to the side.
And then we were going to give a bonus point if Gabriel Iglesias did any singing, which he did, so we gave him the bonus point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're keeping track at home, which you don't need to do that, we'll do that for you. we had to count to five. So Enrique Iglesias is today's winner with three American Hispanic points.
Are we going to go by points, or are we going to just end up saying he's the winner?
Well, he's the winner because we liked him more.
Yes.
But that was only part of it.
Okay.
So either way...
Ooh, so we could accidentally give...
That. So, I don't want to...
I like this.
Yes. Okay, so Enrique Iglesias is our winner for today. And now we're going to do the last part of our show where we're going to give you some recommendations for the genre you talked about. So, Jeremy, remind us of the genre you talked about.
Hispanic slash Latin entertainers.
Oh, yeah.
Named Iglesias.
Right.
Which I don't... Do you have someone named Iglesias?
There might be... No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm just going to be straight up honest. I do not.
Okay. But...
Right.
People with the last name Church... No, we're not doing that either.
Henry Church... Eric Church. He's a... Country sing? I don't know.
I think so.
I don't even want to recommend him.
We're not recommending him. So what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is a music recommendation. There's a band called Los Lonely Boys, which you might remember from...
I vaguely remember that name.
They had a really big single that was popular on like Adult Contemporary called Heaven.
Mm.
And I remember they got a spot on the Pepsi 30-minute band hour. That was a thing when we were younger, and I remember watching them because they got on because of Heaven, but then they just like played their instruments like madmen for their like second thing. Like I remember distinctly they would
like the TV show Mad Men.
Yeah, they played it real good. That's I actually don't like Mad Men, but I know that they're good salesmen, right? These guys, they sold me on their band.
They're advertising people.
They don't sell advertising?
They sell kind of.
I don't think you've watched the show. Caught you in your own lie. But anyway, so Los Lonely Boys, I distinctly remember watching them. I think it's three brothers. Two of them were playing electric guitar, and they threw the guitar vertically up. I don't know how you could not throw it vertically up, but they threw it up, and they would catch it, and when they caught it, it hit a chord. And they did that enough times in a row that you couldn't tell that they weren't throwing a guitar up, that they were just playing. And then after that, they played it behind their head. And I have no musical skills. And I'm like, that seems like something that most people can't do. And they were still doing a great job. Apparently, they still have, they've been putting out music. They just put a CD out in 2014. So listen to their first track, or their first CD, which has that Heaven on it. And if you like that, you might not like them, because I think that was supposed to appeal to everybody. That was like their single that hooked them. They're very talented musicians, so if you like that sort of stuff, get into Los Lonely Boys.
My recommendation. Okay, I've never heard any of his stand-up, but he was on a podcast a couple times, and it's Felipe Esparza. He was also on Last Comic Standing. I think he won one time.
Oh, cool.
But look up him on the podcast The Champs. That's a podcast where the premise is they don't have, like, white people on. Like, it's hosted by two white people, but they mostly interview, like, black comedians and stuff like that.
Cool.
But he tells some really crazy stories about doing a lot of drugs, weird situations with prostitutes. It's the craziest. It's so crazy. I listened to it a while ago, and I should have listened back before recommending it so I could say more stuff. But actually, no, I don't want to spoil any of it. No. It's amazing. Just and then you should just listen to all of The Champs. But specifically him.
Now we're going to do some plugs. Jeremy is a stand-up comedian, as I mentioned. Jeremy, you want to tell us about...
When is this coming out?
This will be out May 1st.
May 1st.
So you just want to do anything in general that you always do, and then a specific date?
I have a show called Sorry, Please Continue. That's a podcast. It's also a live show that we do in St. Louis. And then my co-creators started doing it also in Cleveland.
Awesome.
And you can just look that up on Facebook, or you could just look up Sorry, Please Continue on iTunes. Basically, people tell stories about a theme while some comedians sit on a couch, interrupt them with jokes and questions.
It's really it's really funny. Every time the themes are pretty good, and like, the people who go up are good storytellers or they're sort of drunk. It takes some bravery for them to get up there. And the comedians, it sounds like it's a mean-spirited thing, but they actually do a really good job of flushing the story out, and they'll prompt certain questions so that they can get a good laugh. It's a lot of fun.
The podcast episode should be up by the time this comes out. But someone tells a story about having a dog named Hitler, and it is the hardest I have ever laughed in my entire life. Also, in May, we're doing that show at Union Hall in Brooklyn on the 27th.
Awesome.
And it should be on sale by then, but we've got some really good comedians lined up.
You want to talk about, like, people following you on Twitter or anything
like that? Twitter, it's at Jeremy Helwig. And then there's another show that we do at Heavy Anchor. I have the April date. I don't have a May date yet. But it's called Fatal Bus Accident. And it's a talk show with me and this other comedian, Amy Milton, as the hosts. And our friend Stryker Spurlock also helped create it. And then our friend John Venegoni is our band leader.
Excellent.
And the first one, we smashed our desk with a axe and sledgehammer. And now that just, like, is on the stage whenever we do it. Talk about conspiracy theories and weird religious shit.
How much is it, like, you guys actually being in character, or is it just you guys riffing
we write all of it.
That's awesome.
And then we interview someone, and then we have a band play, and then we have a comedian perform. So
that's awesome.
So, like, that's the fun thing about a talk show format, is a chunk of it you don't have to write ahead of time.
Just some questions. That's awesome. All right. Thank you for listening to us today. This has been Comparing Apples to Oranges. I'm Mike.
I'm Jeremy.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to episode number 2 of the podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it. Look us up on Tumblr. We are comparingapplestooranges, allonword.tumblr.com. That's where all of the links for my co-hosts and info about upcoming episodes and past episodes will be. Any comments or ideas for future podcasts, please send it to the Twitter. We are at the Cato, C-A-T-O, podcast, all one word. Or email us at Cato, C-A-T-O, podcast@gmail.com. Our intro, outro, and music bed music was Thumbs Up by a great artist named Leisure B. If you liked it and want to check out his stuff, go to humanworkshop.com. Thanks. Bye.